what an awesome call. But what I know and has been played out in the past is that whatever that call did was just the opener for the power and enthusiasm that comes from this group of people who are actually a month ahead.
Woo!
And so I get stoked every week to hear how the inaugural Heritover group is going to be doing. But we do have some reports due this week from a class field trip that was taken by several of our people. And I think you're going to love that, babe. So welcome to the P2 call, week number, we're in month
P1.
Three. Week what?
Well, we're P1. We'd like to be P2.
Did I say P2?
You did, but it's just because you foresee that in your mind for us.
Wow, you guys are so impressive that I elevated you to P2 already,
yeah.
Even though there's only one group so far that's met the volume requirement, but all the rest of you have met every other requirement, right? With the exception of going through
yes.
all your classes, of course.
Yes.
All right, so let's check us out here. I'm going to get to my week for this week. Because we're going to follow the By Golly book here. You guys are in month... You know what? We're getting kind of close to the... We're in month three, week two. Come on, find it. Sorry, guys. I'm not a very good page turner yet.
Month two, week three,
right?
Month two. I was in the wrong doggone month. That's what it was. Month two, week three. Okay, here we go. That would be... Somebody could have given me a page number and saved a lot of misery here. He just all wanted to see me groveling around.
You know, you can't do it for other people.
Oh.
They've got to be able to do it for themselves.
Would you take the hose and hose these sisters down for me, please? We've got to cool this thing down. Okay, let's go through our roll call this week, and we're going to find out if Fantastic Four has pulled your people together and can pull it all over the wall. So the first is Dave and Rhonda. Complete or incomplete?
Complete.
As expected, the mighty, mighty, and our, I'm going to brag on them every single week, our brand new Silvers, who are, in fact, two-thirds hairy themselves. Linda, complete or incomplete? Linda, oh, she must be
here.
Having
she's on
calls.
It. She's muted, I think. Linda, are you there? Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay,
you go.
I can hear you now. Okay, I'm sorry. I was muted for the last call, and I thought I got back over. Complete.
Way to go. Peggy, are you with us?
I am.
Complete or incomplete?
Complete, of course.
All right. With a 15-er. It's looking pretty good. Okay, the next group. And this one, this is a group that's, I already know that we have injuries in this group. But even with the injuries, they're going to impress us today. So get her done, starting out with Ron.
Well, I have to say I'm incomplete.
And
I've got to do a little strangling with getting my CDs back.
Rich?
We didn't have a CD this week.
No, his CDs, he's getting CDs out into the community and wanting to get them back and get an answer.
Oh, yeah, we heard that. Okay, got it. I'm there.
Okay, Rich, complete or incomplete?
Incomplete.
I need you to star four. Janny?
Complete.
Complete.
Woo!
Sherry?
Complete plus two.
Right.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I don't know if there's a gender thing going on here, but
yeah.
Let's
better intimidated.
Sherry,
it's a challenge for next week, guys.
No, that's okay. You know, humiliation works really good. Sherry, you get to step to the fore and give us any hot things that worked for you this week because you had the complete plus two and exceeded it. However, I must tell everyone, all of those in the listening gallery, all those in the listening world, across Niken, the Victoria's team this week was fantastic four.
Woo!
Sorry.
You guys.
Next week.
Cranked it up.
I have one thing I have to tell you, Jerry, too. Last week when I said I was incomplete, I was actually complete. I went back and looked at stuff.
Oh. Well, then, that's like the most amount of awesome. I think what we're going to do is this. Okay, next week, the team that loses, you have to wear your underwear on your head the whole call.
Who's going to see that?
Oh. I guess it's not such a good deterrent then, huh?
No.
Okay, Sherry, hit us.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I want to talk about is there was a couple girls that I had at the preview on Thursday for Reed Nelson. And, you know, they're not really happy with their job, you know, that kind of thing. So they came to the preview, they agreed, they came, and they weren't thrilled because they're 22. I apologize for anybody who's younger, but they're 22. They didn't get it. They didn't see it. But what was great about that is afterwards when I was talking to them and I just asked them, you know, hey, what did you think? Is this something that you think you'd want to look further at and go the next step? And they're both, well, you know, I don't know, and hemming and hawing. And so I said, well, you know, it might not be for you, and that's okay, but I'm sure while you were there, you were thinking of somebody that this could help. Who did you think of? And the one girl said, I know exactly who I need to talk to. I need to talk to my, evidently she was an exchange student here, and her exchange parents that were here, she said, yeah, she's hurting, she's this, she's that, you know, the husband needs this, she needs this. So definitely I'll need to talk to them. And so I said, okay, so we need to set that up by next Thursday so they can come to the meeting and I can have an appointment with them. And she said, absolutely. And then the next girl, I said, well, you know, who did you think of? And she said, well, I'll think on it a little harder, but I'm sure I'll think of someone. So for me, that was my big victory because even though they were no's, I think before in my business, I would have just let that go and felt really bad or continued to chase them when they're not ready. But in going deeper, I felt really good about that contact.
Way to go.
Wow. That's a hair over thing to do, actually.
Oh, hey.
I'm on your top lip, Sherry.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Get my sister off the phone, would you?
Yeah, good luck.
I recommend to all of you bring your sisters on next week's call. How's that?
Oh.
Have a wrap up. She got on the phone.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Oh, and I signed up my hairdresser.
All right.
Yeah, because we're just sitting there and she's doing my hair, and there's, you know, no one else in the shop, so there's no one for her to talk to but me. So anyway, we just got to talk about health, and I saw she was drinking an energy drink, and we talked about that, and I said, well, let me look and see what's in it, and, you know, I can't believe you're drinking this when you're such a healthy person, and she's saying, oh, my gosh, well, what should I be drinking? What should I be doing? And so we just got in a conversation about that and about Niken, and she said, you know, that she would like to join, and she'd like to get the products, and she'll probably be wholesale for a while, but I got her thinking about the business also, and she's thinking about retailing for right now. So, anyway, that was
very
fun, too.
Very good. Here's a little piece of trivia just because I can't let it slip by. Does anybody know the Spanish word for bull?
Toro.
Toro, yeah. Right. And what Ford automobile is named after a bull?
Taurus.
Taurus?
Taurus. Taurus, okay. And does anybody know what taurine is. Spelled the same as Taurus with a different ending on it.
Bull urine.
That's exactly right. It's bull
Who
urine.
Who knows that?
Peggy.
Peggy.
How do you know that, Peggy?
I've heard this story before.
She was at one of my previews. And where do you find this popular additive in a special drink in America today?
Red Bull? Can't remember which one it is.
Red Bull?
Exactly. Look on the can.
No way.
Well, taurine's in a ton of stuff.
Well,
seriously?
Isn't that interesting?
It's urine?
The active ingredient was discovered in bull urine, so they probably don't just go, come here, bossy, pee and wake up.
Does it say that? What does it say exactly?
T-A-U-R-E-N-E, taurine.
Oh.
In the ingredient. So, hey, you guys gonna, which is better for you? I mean, at least just sort of like emotionally better for you to have a rev up or a, you know, just, I thought I'd bring that up.
Jerry, I got a friend of mine that drinks four of those a day. Oh, I wonder why he was full of bull.
Oh, we learned the best.
Guys, Don, heard it.
Oh.
He used to drink them all the time, five or six a day.
Well, you know, after talking to him on the phone, I would have guessed that. Hey, Rich? Yeah, you're in that business. Have you heard that before?
What, the urine? Yeah.
Yeah, so, see, I just wanted to run it past Rich because I knew he'd know the answer on that.
Good stuff, though.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of that's a natural ingredient.
A lot of people mix it with vodka. A new screwdriver, I guess.
There you have it. Gosh, we talk about important things here. We're going to be talking about two different things this week. One of them is the ABC meeting, and the other one is the one-on-one meetings. And those are real important on how we approach it and how you perceive yourselves. But let's go ahead and cover our listening, which we didn't have. What other important area seems to be missing from our call lately?
Conference call.
Texas call.
The Texas call, because the doggone thing got it. They forgot to pay their light bill, I guess, because that website is down.
Yeah.
So let's take a moment and just give me some things that you're working on. I'm going to start with Fantastic Four here and find out what are some of the things, Peggy, that you find valuable from working with your team offline?
Wow.
So not on this call, but calling in with your group of three. Have you found a connection?
Oh, big time. I had told them last call, I talked to them about some stuff, and I was kind of down, and I found that this time that they came around for me and were giving me all kinds of encouragement, and yeah, I love my team. They're great.
And Rich, did anybody get in touch with you after our call last week?
Yeah, I got in touch with a couple people today.
Okay, good. So you guys are working together as a team and trying to kind of solve this problem?
Yeah, definitely. I'm doing a good job talking to people and getting that presentation out there to people. It's just a matter of getting my homework assignments done.
Oh, okay. So you're getting your bodies in the hole.
Right.
But it's were you like this in school, Rich?
Yeah, pretty much. I take that.
Well, just we're rooting for you, and should we put some money in a hat and get a CD player for his car? Oh, it's the book.
I gotta sit down and actually read.
Okay, well, we're gonna have your daughter kind of go along with you and read it to you while you're riding back and forth to work.
Yeah,
but are you getting your numbers of people done?
I'm getting that in. Yeah, I talked to someone at the mall actually. I was buying a pair of shoes, and I was pulling my insoles out. not to cut the story off or anything, but she was like, what's that? And I kind of explained it to her, and, you know, and I, she was African-American, and my wife's African-American as well, so, I mean, there's a lot of diabetes in African-American culture, so I kind of threw that out there to see if she might have leaded to something, and how it helped out with my father-in-law, and then she was just all over it, and I did the little strength test in the little Macy's, and she gave me her contacts, and I texted her some information, and I'm going to follow up with her tomorrow.
Good. I'm not coming to bed right now, baby.
Well, good, because I'm licking my chops about your market down there, and I can't wait to get back down there. So let me know if there's a time that comes up in the next couple of months that would be good to be there, because I have San Diego that's starting to pop a little bit, and out in Palm Springs, and just always really looking to get Orange County blowed out some, and I've got some North Orange County stuff to do. And so when you ring the bell, we'll see if I can't get down there and we go to work.
Hey, Jerry, how far is Santa Ana from where you just said?
Santa Ana is almost sitting on the NECAN headquarters.
Well, that's where my daughter's at, and her fiancé, that's where they live, and their parents. And they're professional with real estate and all that, so good. Whenever you head that way, I'll get you set up.
That's perfect. Okay, now let's, one other little item that we can throw in here before we get too far into it. Is we need a book report or a report on a field trip. We had three of our members that went to goal training this week.
Woo! We're proud of you.
Four. I think there were four.
Four? Were you there too, Peggy?
Yeah, I was. In fact, I'm hoping to apply to become an honorary sister.
She is. You're already there. You're there.
Yeah, but the tattoo's embarrassing.
Hey, how do you know?
I'm one of the honorary sisters. You should see mine.
Does that tattoo look like a diamond?
Right.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's start with, Peggy, I'm going to put you in the middle of the mix here because I've got three people related that have to do their deal. So let me start because, Sherry, this is sort of like the person who wins the hole gets to go first. So,
oh, okay.
You get complete plus two, so you get to start. What did you get from goal training?
Oh my gosh, it was so awesome. And a couple of things that really stuck out to me was when our speaker was talking about going around finding people and how you are, it's just like you're interviewing them for a job. And he said, you're the president of this company, and you need somebody to come in and help you grow your company. What type of person are you going to look for? And what type of people are you trying to pull into your business now? You know, you wouldn't pull people into your business if you're the president of this company to help you grow it if you think that, oh, man, if I could just get them motivated, you know, or if they just saw the vision, you would let those people just pass by, you know. And so he talks about, you know, you're out there interviewing for this multi-billion dollar company that you're building, and that's how you should treat it. And there's so much. I'm going to let my sisters talk too because I usually do most of the talking, but there was so much in that 2 days that every single person needs to go to goal training to help build their business because there's so much fantastic business advice in there that makes you look at it a completely different way and it makes you value it so much more.
Wow. Linda, you're professional. How would you compare it to other trainings you've had?
Oh my gosh. Nothing compares to goal training. What's really cool about goal training is they can make you see the vision of everything out there in the future for you and you can picture it now. Not necessarily in the future, but now. And what's really cool is anybody you talk to, they really stress that there is actually something behind any objection. They said everybody wants to be in this business. Everybody needs the products. You just need to find out when they say no, why did they say no? They're not saying
keep
no
digging.
To you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Keep asking questions until you know exactly what they're objecting about, and you can totally turn it around. It was incredible. It just made you feel like, okay, I can talk to anybody and everybody.
Yep.
Anything that they have in mind that maybe they're apprehensive about, I can help solve it. And
mm-hmm.
that was cool.
mm-hmm.
Well, this is kind of interesting, Peggy. When you went to Gold Training and you saw what you saw and you experienced the comradeship and all of the things that are fitting together, and I asked this of the guys on the last call, did you get a sense where in most seminars you go to or most schooling that you go to, there's a sense of a teacher and students. And when the teacher stands up, the students sit down. Did you get a sense that it was they were developing you to be the leaders, or that they always wanted you to be the subservient people?
Oh, no, definitely to be leaders. I mean, the whole thing was about being a leader and about preparing yourself to help your downline, to be there for your downline, and how to be more motivational for your downline. And I mean, one of the things that they, a thing that they were talking about, you know, as far as going out with prospects and your downline and whatnot, is they were saying 80% of our time is spent communicating. Listening represents 45%. Wait just a second, this is not... Oh, of 80% listening. Sorry about that. Listening represents 45%, and this is listening represents 70% of our persuasive effectiveness.
Wow.
Sensed you guys over.
That's
did it make
good.
Sense?
Yeah.
And I thought that was, it was amazing. Not only was it amazing for the information that we were given, but we were also the people that we met there, the connections that you got, you know, just from being there and meeting new people. It was invaluable.
If I say the word network, does it start to make more sense to you now?
Oh, big time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jani, you get to throw on in this now. If you were to think about the future, and you had 1,000 people in your group, and you know that 250 of them were going to Gold Training, what does that do to you as far as imagining the strength of your organization?
I'd be jumping up and down. That would just do incredible things for the business, because you go there and I think it becomes clear, or at least for me, I was more focused as, okay, this is my business. This is not something that I do in my spare time. This is not something that I'm just going to gradually grow. This is a business, and I'm the president of that company. And one thing that the instructor said is, if you put every last penny you own, you put $1 million, or, you know, you put everything into this business, how would you treat it then? And this is your multi-million dollar business. So look at it that way. Not that you have invested, you know, X amount in the products and the kid and the time. It's, you know, what if you threw everything that you had and risked it all to put into this? How would you
mm-hmm.
treat it then?
Yep.
Dave Johnson said in the quotes from our workbook for the previous call a month ago, where you are 5 years from now will be determined by the tapes you listen to, the books you read, and the last part that wasn't included in here but is probably the most important, and the people you associate with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you tell when you went to Gold Training that you were around different people and a different caliber of visionary than the average rank and file meeting you go to every day?
So, absolutely.
And Peggy, when you were there, were you made to feel like you were one of them, or you were just looking in from the outside?
Oh, no, definitely felt like I was one of them. The whole process is, it kind of draws you in, you know, and what it kind of did for me is, I've gotten bits and pieces here and there, and you know, it kind of just put everything together for me in an easier plan and made a lot more sense of things, and was it
you know, made you feel like you can definitely do it.
So I would ask this kind of our call as a whole. When you come together weekly on this call, do you feel like you're plugging back into Niken?
Oh, yes.
When you go to events like Gold Training and Humans Being More Training that's coming up in Spokane next month, or you go to the Montana Wellness Expo, or when Rich is down there and he gets a chance to pop in on one of the major expos down there, do you feel like you're plugging in?
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And can you see how a variety of events makes you feel much a bigger vision for Niken?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What do you all think it would be like to travel to the World Convention and see other countries who don't even speak your language but know the Niken hug?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And what's interesting is that it's available for every single person who signs up to come into Niken. What if what we are providing for them is this magnificent set of experiences to just kind of uncover the who they can be? Would that be something worth offering to people?
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah.
But do we get stuck on the idea oftentimes that we just have to convince them, but we're not sure what we're convincing them of, but it probably has something to do with really cool products? So we back up the truck and we unload every known factoid when really our hearts are saying, you gotta go on the journey.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, most of us, if we were going on a camping trip and we spent a week together going down the Colorado River with nobody else around, 7 days, plotting out our future as Niken people, and we got to the end, how many of you would be more impressed with the quality of the relationships and the power that that produced, or the name of the company that made the raft?
The people. People, for sure.
So that's something that we got to constantly bring ourselves back to. So here we're going to be moving into our topic for the day, which is the ABC meeting, and out of on page 21 of our guide, it says an ABC meeting is a meeting between three people. And I think this is an important thing to actually do in your wellness previews, because one of the most important thing that the prospect needs to hear is, shoot, I could do this. And that is, the A is you, the B is know what, they got this all mixed up. The B is you. The A would be your upline or crossline person that's helping to explain Niken, and the C is your prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And in this process, the A does the presentation, the knowledgeable third party. And one of the things that was brought up in our last call was the quality of people that Brad was able to meet to do three ways with.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like he had just vastly broadened his capabilities to provide for the prospect. And so those people, based on their life experiences, he could see them being A's in different categories for different reasons for different times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a means of utilizing knowledge and experience of your upline or experienced business partner as you begin to meet with prospects. The purpose of an ABC meeting is twofold. Number one is to give you an opportunity to listen to the presentation until you feel comfortable enough to move into one-on-one meetings later on. The key to remember is we are in the business of duplication.
Yeah.
But this is so incredibly important, because I have been ranked among the top three non-duplicatable people of all time. And I highly recommend you don't go there. We've got to have a system where you're empowering your people to believe that the story is so incredibly powerful that it can be told, as Doug Davis puts in our group, it can be told by a blind dog with a note in his mouth. And that empowers the new prospect and the new distributor to believe, oh, okay, I'm starting to see a pattern here. I believe I could take that ABC guide and do it myself. The second purpose is to give your prospect a clear understanding of the business and the opportunity. It's presented by a knowledgeable source who has the experience to successfully present the information. Here's a key point to remember, and I like the way Jeff Van Blarikum puts it. He said, during this ABC presentation, what I want the prospect... Well, let me ask this. Ron, during your ABC presentation, what is your goal? What do you want that person to get during the ABC presentation?
Well, the importance of basically how to get free. My goal is just to get free from what I do. And number two is, like you say, to understand this business in the most easiest way you can get it. Is that where you're going at with this?
Well, I love what you just said, because if the prospect, and I think freedom is a pretty universal word, that your prospects out there in the world are going to want freedom. Freedom is costly. You've all listened to CDs with Rich Dad Poor Dad guy,
mm-hmm.
And he talked about how much courage it took to become free, and that it takes more work to be free, but that you get freedom. And if you are aware of that when you do your ABC presentation, then it's very true that you want that person, while they're working on and listening to the ABC presentation, we want that person to get, you can become free. And what we're here to do is to sit and listen and hear and be aware of what your needs are, so that we can go together as a task force and accomplish it. I was talking with one of my silvers in Yakima, my old college roommate Russell, this week as I was down in Yakima, and man, I got to give him kudos, because this guy is self-employed, and his employees are quitting on him, and he's doing all the work and going back and redoing work from those employees, and he's just up to his eyeballs in alligators. But he had 17 people at the wellness preview, and 6 of them were prospects.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So he's rocking, and Peggy was at that one, so I really salute him. He never gets enough sleep or anything like that, but that group down there in Yakima, largely due to the fact that Peggy is turning around and really becoming sort of an inspiration to those guys, her brother and to Russell, and even to Michelle, who you know, does the work if she gets the recognition. And it's about pulling all that team together. So I think really this idea of being and doing the ABC and putting this thing together, we've got to have this sense of duplication. We have to be able to empower other people. And when you do the presentation, if you put out there, this is about freedom. Well, what Russell and I did was we talked in the car, and we were talking some about this subject, and he turned and did his next call, and he said to the prospect, well, what we're going to do is sit down, and we're bringing something that has immense value. We don't know fully what it is that you want or need in this world, and our job is going to sit down and just be very clear about some of the things that you most want or need, and then we're going to go together and sort of brainstorm a way to see if we can't get this vehicle to apply to getting you where you want to go, and if that includes going home, we want to get you home. Can you see how the prospect might bite on some kind of thing like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. Put that way.
Isn't that neat? And it's just such a great way when you're talking to your prospects to basically say, I'm really not clear on what this could best do for you, but I'm sure actually putting an army of people together, you and me and a bunch of other people, to help you get what you want and you need, because you could be a valuable asset in the future, we know, if you get those things out of the way. So let's sit down and figure it is, or what it is that you need.
You know, Jerry, what I think really works on that is that you made that person feel really special, because you're actually taking the time to help him find out what he might not even know himself.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
And I love that whole concept. Wouldn't it be interesting if you could take the feel that most people have? They think, if I'm going to have a one-on-one, it's going to be like bring in the used car salesman guy to close, and we'll have a two-on-one, and we'll knock this guy down, and we'll tear him up and get his money. That's what most people perceive, right?
Uh-huh.
What are they going to think when you sit down across the table and say, what we're here to do is to give you a platform to become totally and completely free and independent so you can join us in the process of going to find others so we can do that for them.
Wow.
So if that's your purpose, when you get that ABC together, what Jeff Van Blaricum says is he says, I'm going to do 20 minutes of finding out who that person is and what they want, and I'm going to just be putting it in my memory banks. The next 20 minutes when he presents Niken, he says, I want to present Niken as Niken. It is not just products. It's not just technology. It's about balance. It's a company. It's a philosophy of people. It's the five pillars. It's the support mechanism. It's the hope of the future. It's an incredible megatrend that's changing in this world and coming into our environment. He said, my 20 minutes then that I'm going to do the presentation are going to be focused on the whole picture. At the end of which, he said, I'm going to adhere to the time very closely and I'm done. And I'm going to simply ask them, is this something you want to look further into? Then your next experience should be looking in the eyes and hearts of people who actually do that. You need to be in an event to do it. Listen to this CD or DVD, which would be, we're already learning the Dennis Williams CD or the Rick Murphy or the company one, while they're waiting, while they're listening. Get a broader view. Then once they come to the preview, what Jeff says is, I want the preview to be 50 minutes long, a bigger version of what we saw before, but hearing people's testimonies. When it's done, and this is just how Jeff Van Blaricum has chosen to build his business, he basically says that with that point, I want you to get a product experience. He doesn't call it a rollout. He calls it a product experience. Takes them to the side of the room, gives them a rollout, said, I'm going to send them home early so they can get a great night's sleep. I'm going to have them go home after that rollout to get an exceptional night's sleep. But the one key thing he wants to get from them at that point is not to badger them until they get in. He might say that, you could sign up now. But what his basic premise is, I want you to be fully informed. And in the process of being fully informed, you've now seen this, and you've heard that, and you've done this. Now we're going to schedule the follow-up meeting. And at the follow-up meeting, I want you to have your questions laid out on a piece of paper. We're going to cover everything that you need to know. After the, he says he never loans products until after the rollout. It's just something they got in the habit of doing. Saying if they're willing to go three or four steps into the process, then I'll loan you the product. But you see, most of you will probably loan products before that because you're not approaching the prospect with the same approach that Jeff Van Blaricum does. And in fact, the people who make the big checks in Niken don't approach people with the same approach that those who don't make checks are approaching people with. So, with that being said, Rich, what do you think those people that made big money in Niken are approaching people with?
Opportunity.
Opportunity, clarify. Go a little farther.
Well, opportunity to look into wellness is a little bit more in-depth knowledge.
Into wellness, and I think that's an important key point. Who would add to that?
A need.
A need, okay. And what are some of the key needs you think people have out there?
A dream. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they need to learn to dream. That's a good key dream or need. What's another one?
Balance.
They need balance in their lives. That's a pretty cool one, yeah. What else do people need?
Time.
They need mentored because most people out there are just beat to
no end just from the society, and they need to be lifted and know there's something out there that...
Mentored, and they need time. What else do they need?
The support.
Support. You know, if you all were making a list of just these simple 8 or 9 things, and you did in your presentation and said somehow in our presentation we're going to highlight that the what's in it for the prospector, these things, can you all see how you could lay that out with benefits and make a prospect more interested in joining you than if you were just laying it out with features and sort of facts about what NECN is?
Yes. Yep.
You could have the time. When we do this right and we do the leverage properly, you could have the freedom. When we do this right and we do this properly and we do this together, you could have the knowledge to know that you could rebuild it regardless of what comes into your life. When we do this as a team and as we develop this properly, you'll have some of the greatest life experiences and memories that you can imagine. You'll look forward to getting up and going to work every single day. Isn't that kind of an interesting way to do a presentation?
Oh, that's great.
Jerry, how would you pursue what we just talked about? Like, for instance, we said, you know, the mentor, the time, the support. I'm seeing this as you could actually question the person. There's a, like you could ask them, there's a few questions I need to ask you. To see where you're at. Are you satisfied with the mentor, with the job that you're working with? Do you have mentors that take the time? Do you have the time, you know, with your family? Do you have someone that helps you with the support of your business? In that way, you know, and then you can share that we do that, just that?
I would say that would be a phenomenal thing to ask and say, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a company out there that would bring that to the people? Do you think there's a market for people who need that in their lives?
Because I know they're not getting it.
And if they're not getting it, can they imagine that others are not getting it? And how many millions of others are not getting it who would like to have it?
Mm-hmm.
And then say to them, that's why I want to partner with you, is so we can be clear on this ourselves, be done with it, and then together we go out, we get the next who then becomes clear, gets set on their 2 feet, so that together we can go those 3 to go get some more. That is what we do.
Yeah.
And you're already pulling them in and saying, all right, all we need for this thing to blow up between you and me, let's say, Ron, if you're talking to Don,
mm-hmm.
And saying the only thing we need to do between now and when this team of the two of us can go out and start bringing people home is to get you on your feet and get you home.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to plug you into the system, and we're going to try to find every way we can to get that done for you. And immediately, as soon as you tell them that, you say the first lesson is it's no longer about you. Now that you know that those things are available, there's only one way to achieve them, and it's by us going to find other people and assisting them to get what they want. It's a pretty interesting proposition. So that's how we're going to take a look at our ABC that we want to build it, is that intention that when you get done, you do it, but don't overdo it. You give them information, but not too much information. You give them enough to think about and to hope for seeing the next piece, but not trying to answer all their questions, because if they're making big decisions poorly informed, they're going to come up with a poor answer, more than likely, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other one is then one-on-one meetings. Let's see where we are on our time here. In a one-on-one meeting is a personal interaction between you and your prospect with the purpose of sharing the business opportunity. So this is a one step higher than an ABC meeting. First thing is setting the appointment. Set a time to meet your prospect or your business partner. You can do this from the bump into's, which I generally do most of mine with, when you just bump into somebody. It's a great place to use their one-minute catchphrase. Remember what that was. You're to do a brief telephone call and on and off the phone in less than 3 minutes. And your purpose is to schedule something, not to present anything, but to schedule it. That's real important to remember. The second point, you just want to share what NECN is. Share NECN in its entirety. do a complete presentation of the business and use one of the several tools as a guide or format for the plan. Number three, you want to do the close. Use an open-ended question that moves toward a desired outcome. Did you ladies, when you went to goal training, have a section on closing?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Did it help?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It was awesome. It didn't, and he said that Bonnie Taylor, yeah, when she was going through interviewing people to see what really needed to be left in goal training since they were cutting it down from 3 days to 2 days, and she asked a lot of the leaders, and she said without exception, the leaders said, please teach the people how to close. That was one of the things that came up every time. Because people just kind of let it peter out, you know, and they just kind of let it go, and thanks for coming, and, you know, goodbye, and I'll be in touch, and then it never materializes.
So what do you walk away from? And I'll give all four of you sort of a platform to state this, but when you walk away with the close, what do you walk away with? What's the $64,000 question for you that was helpful? And I'm going to start with Linda.
I guess in the end, the commitment to either buying the product, joining the business, you know, or if they still want further information, you know. Some people, we learned in gold training about the different groups and what category we fit in, and there I learned about the analysts and how they will continue to ask for information, and maybe you won't get a close right away with them, but I am so excited about being able to, I think, go so much better with my people in closing now that I have all that information.
Terrific. And so, Peggy, what first question, which category do you think I'm in, personality style?
You're already decided which one you were in.
You're in our group, Jerry.
Yeah, you're in our group, Jerry.
You're not our all group. Promoters, are you?
Yeah, two of us were promoters. Three of us with Peggy.
Yeah, we're promoters.
Oh, no.
Danny's a supporter, but you're a promoter for sure.
All right, yeah. So do you know what the universal cry for promoters is?
No.
Party on, dude.
Party, yeah.
Okay, Peggy, what was your take on closing from goal training?
We covered a lot of what I kind of lost my train of thought here, Jerry.
Okay, we'll come back to you then.
Okay.
All right. Then, Jannie, what was your take on closing from goal training? What was the wisdom or one piece you really took away with?
That even though the whole process, I mean, our approach is a no-pressure approach, you still have to ask the question in the end. You've got to get some sort of yes or no or here's where I'm at kind of an answer from your prospect. Otherwise, it just kind of fizzles out. And then those people that, you know, never really turn into anything, you know, you've pretty much wasted your time.
Did that speak directly to you or your experience in Nikan when you heard the fizzle out point?
Absolutely. And I work with salespeople all the time, and we talk about how, you know, 60-some percent of salespeople never ask that closing question. And I know how important the close is, and I know how important all these other things are at work. And what was nice is gold training helped me take what I already knew and see how to use it in the business without feeling like a salesperson.
Very interesting.
Awesome.
Okay, Sherry?
Well, I was going to say what Jannie said, is that you have to ask the question. And the way he did it when he was doing the role plays, there wasn't pressure, you know. It was, you know, a lot of the time the clothes that he had was, you know, if I could show you a way to have all those things, and then he would repeat back their needs, you know, to have more time and have time with the kids and things like that, would you be interested? You know, I mean, and then, yes, I'd be interested. Okay, great. How do you want your name on your checks? You know, I mean, he just kind of went right into it. But it was always asking the question and repeating their needs with the questions to make sure that you understood their needs, that you weren't trying to sell them your needs, but that you found out their needs, repeated their needs to them, found a solution to their needs, and then asked the question in a very non-threatening way.
Peggy, let's come back to you then. And what did anything pop into your mind there?
Well, actually, what popped in my mind is what my problem's been, is closing. I don't really ever come around to doing a proper closing and asking the direct question. I think I was kind of afraid of the answer. And the way that he taught us to do it there, it... You know, and the way you look at it is, you know, even if it is no, it's one step closer to the next yes.
Right.
So if you think about the most uncomfortable moments in your Nikken career, is it because you asked the question or because you didn't?
Because I didn't.
For sure.
Can everybody pretty much agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long is the uncomfortable moment if you don't ask the question?
As long as it takes until you do, or you stop seeing that person.
Barry, would you think it would be a good idea if we actually thought about our own individual self, like when we were asked that question, how we felt ourself? Because, you know, actually when you were at my home and when you popped the question, if you will, I wasn't really bothered, or because I had already had my mind set, and I don't know with the rest of the team if they were, or but you know, if you ask your own self that personal question, well, it wasn't that big of a deal, then it might make it easier for you to just right out ask them.
Well, maybe I can throw a hint out that it seems to help me when I do it right, and it screws me up if I do it wrong. Can you all imagine that if you can truly release the outcome, hope for the best for the prospect, that's a very easy question to ask them?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
So how can we screw it up? I like that. I love how Zig Ziglar said, are there three things that you could do in your business this next week that could absolutely ruin or screw up your business? And he said, if there's three things you can think of that would screw it up, there's probably three things you can do to make it better, too. And in one of this is the one to make better. And that is, if you can release the outcome and be truly absorbed in what is going to be the best for that person, can you all see, though, that they may not know what's best for them, just like a child who thinks they need to stay up another 2 hours?
Oh, yeah.
But your life experience has allowed you to see what it's going to be like in the morning and the next day if they stay up the next 2 hours?
Yep.
Can you see how there could be a time when you ask the final question, which is basically, based on what you've seen so far, do you want to start here, or do you want to start here?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, well, you know what I really want to do, I know that the business that I'm in right now has only got 6 months left, and then I'm out, and I have never been trained on anything ever before, on anything else that I could do that would come remotely close to covering our expenses. I'm scared spitless. So what I want to do is I just want to sign up for $49 and watch to see if the thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Can you all see that if you're really cross-line closing somebody, it would be easier than if you were closing your own person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as a cross-line closer, what would you tell that person? If all they want to do is become a $49 distributorship and see if that night the window flies open by itself And all of a sudden, there's a flock of new prospects that fly and stand on the end of their bed with their little arms held up like puppy dogs saying, would you please sign me up? I have $5,000 in my pocket and I want this thing to work.
I think one of the things that I've learned from this, Jerry, is that I've treated this completely different from when I was hiring for my company. You know, I had a set of standards and I had, you know, more planned out what type of person that I wanted to work with at the time, and I'm not defining that like I should and look at it the same way. I mean, this is your business.
I'm going to ask Rich a question. Rich, have you ever trained anybody for a specific event?
Like football.
Football? Okay. Great. And when you were training them, was there ever a point where you made the realization, or you just kind of owned the idea, that who had to actually be doing the physical exertion, you or them?
What was the question again? The first part?
When you were training that person to prepare themselves to be a better football player,
right,
and you are Yoda, mm-hmm, who has to lift the starfighter out of the mud, you or them?
You gotta mentally prepare them, I mean, to actually be ready to do the physical exertion.
And if they don't do the physical exertion, what is the chance that they're going to have all the physiologic parameters they need in order to function at the high level they want to function? What are the chances?
Limp.
So they want to just sort of sit in the chair and say, Rich, I'm going to watch you and I'm going to meditate on how well this could work. Or today, coach, you know, I like what Wolfgang said. He said, you are the coach in this Nikan career. How many of you, and let me just ask you this question too, Rich, how many diamonds do you think ever got into Nikan and never got a full kit of products?
I don't know. I mean, they got everything. A lot of fun at least.
And there is not a single person who makes it to Diamond who does not have all of the components of a wellness home eventually, right?
Right.
Now, not everybody who buys a wellness home will get to Diamond, but you'll never be a Diamond unless you have all the components to get to a wellness home.
Right.
So if a person wants to get the full freedom, you have to be absolutely truthful with them and say, look, you can't take off the next 4 weeks if on the fifth week you're going to run your first 10K. It is what it is, and if you're hiring me and you're trying to BS me into making you making the world believe that you don't have to train, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hiring them and you're saying what you want is you want to get those kids out of daycare and you want to get home, and what you're doing is you're now looking at an unrealistic picture, because if you don't bring the people and you don't get the stuff and you don't do the thing, we need to change your potential outcome because they aren't going to match up. Don't you think that's what people are paying for when they signed you up to be their coach?
Yeah.
Is the wisdom to know that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you lay it out clearly, then you're earning your money as a coach. But if you mamby-pamby and soft-pedal them because they think they want to do it painlessly and never have to do anything, but all the other people that are coming in after them will want to do something, what you're doing is you're enabling them to have a screwed-up life. So this is a noble thing that we do. It's a place where we're really in a good stead. I'll add this one last little piece, and that is, you guys, we're all moving. You know what I've forgotten?
Hmm.
Holy smokes.
The book.
Well, yeah, I did do that. But Dave and Rhonda.
Yeah.
You guys, I have been sitting here running around, and I never looked at my book to get you into the conversation. So you guys get to say your piece. We have now, you guys, this is like all of us running around, and the oracles are sitting on the rock with all the answers. We're chasing ants with sticks, and they know how to catch the whole batch of them. So Dave and Rhonda, just based on what you've heard tonight, some of the things that have come out, what do you think?
Well,
just give us some wisdom from the point of view that you guys have gone through. How difficult was it going sober?
Well, it wasn't difficult for me when I got Rhonda right here, but I don't think it was as difficult for Rhonda because she had such a great product experience and she was so willing to share it with others.
Rhonda?
Yes?
Was it difficult for you to go sober? What was in your mind, your purpose, as you went after it? Was it going silver?
Yeah.
Or was it something else?
No, I had it in mind to go silver, and I had to have it laid out in front of me what I need to do, and then so I just worked for that goal.
Okay, and so if you were to kind of paraphrase to the rest of the people on the call, what you visualized that you could go to work on, what was it? What were some of the key little pieces that you kind of had in the back of your head that you were building toward as you were going toward silver?
Just every week reaching the prospects and getting them to the ABC and doing it over and over again.
Did you have a number that you were working toward every week? Like, by golly, I got to at least talk to this many people, or did you just kind of just keep going and not really think about that?
Well, I wanted to at least get my 5 for the P1 call, but I usually went beyond that.
One of the things that's wonderful about going sober fairly quickly is because you don't know doesn't seem like it's anything all that impossible, and you don't know that it's hard, so you just do it. But can you see how other people might get in their own way in the process of getting to silver?
I don't know what you mean by get in their own way.
For example, has anybody surprised you that you've brought to a meeting and was more interested than you thought they would be?
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any people who surprised you who were less interested than you thought they'd be?
Yes.
So what I mean by people getting in their own way is usually they've already decided for a person before they ever get there whether they should even ask them if they want to see it.
Yeah, I can see that.
And can you see that within some of the people you've already sponsored that they may be making up other people's minds for them before they ever start?
Definitely, yeah.
So wouldn't that be a sort of an interesting thing to talk on your teams about this week, is how do you help configure for your people that you're bringing in, those people that are sponsoring and helping you to grow your business, how do you help to keep their eyes open? How do you help them to honor other people by not sitting around and making all decisions for them? Now, let's see. I'm going to throw out a CD. Have you all listened to the Kiyosaki CD in this group?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Okay.
Rich Man, Poor Man, or the other? No, there's a second one. That was the one after that, right?
Maybe The Perfect Business, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a listing for this group because we have lost our Utah connection for a while, and I'll start assigning the CDs appropriate to that. But what I'd like to have you all to do this week is to review your favorite prospecting CD in light of some of the things we talked about tonight, and that is how many things, if you were a brand new person listening to a CD about Niken, are you encouraged in these areas? One area would be, could I do this? Another area would be, is there support? One more would be, does it work? How much does it cost? And what's in it for me? Can you see how if you answered those five questions, most people, that's what they want to know when they're seeing something presented?
Oh, yeah.
So review your favorite CD that you give to other people and see if it answers those questions. And we'll come back and discuss it next week.
Cool.
Now, for those of you who are in the listening gallery, we're also, our chapters in Dare to Dream and Work to Win, we're up to about chapters 9 through 12, aren't we? Right.
7 through 9.
Okay. Anybody liking the book?
Love it.
Awesome.
Great.
Do you recommend that Rich read it this week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, on three, everybody say, Rich, read it. 1, 2, 3.
Rich! Read it!
All right, you guys are terrific. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.